Well, it's a joy to be with you today, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the visitors who've come to thank the Brimbank Church for inviting us, for welcoming us and giving us such a treat today, and to hear some of the history and the photos. It's brought back memories for all of us, hasn't it? I looked at the walls and thought, if these walls could speak and talk about everything that has happened in this place over the last 20 years and going back previously to the really back to the 1960s when the Miliara Church of Christ was established from North Essendon, and then it became East Keilor or Keilor East, depending which side of Miliara Road you lived on. Let me bring to you a message from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's a wonderful reading for an occasion like this. So today we are honouring a milestone in the history of this church. Milestones are significant markers in life. They give us the opportunity to stop what we're doing, to gather, to remember, and to hold this moment as a very precious moment. And I'm conscious as we gather together today, and this has already been referred to, of what we call the cloud of witnesses of those who've been part of this church and have gone before us, who are witnesses to the work that is being carried on. Now, the word milestone dates back to the Roman Empire, and the Romans built a huge number of roads throughout their empire. It was their means of their armies getting around, means of communication, and eventually it helped the spread of the gospel, although that's not what the Roman emperors had intended. Every 1,000 paces, or roughly every mile, a stone marker was placed so that travellers on the journey or the armies would know how far they had gone. That's where the word milestone originates from. Now, we celebrate milestones in our lives. Birthdays. Can you remember how excited you were when you became 10, your 10th birthday? Double figures. We actually have a granddaughter who's going to be 10 tomorrow, and she's very excited about that. And then the birthdays that celebrate the beginning and end of a decade. So you've been to 30th, 40th, 50th, 60th, 70th, 80th, 90th birthdays, haven't you? And it's the same with anniversaries. We take the time to celebrate those special occasions. Recently, I typed my mother's memoirs, or some of them, what I can find that she has written at different times in her life. Now, my mother was 100 a fortnight ago tomorrow, and we had a party for her a fortnight ago, this afternoon, on the Sunday afternoon, but she couldn't actually be at it. She tested positive for COVID 3 hours before the party for the second time. But we decided to go ahead because it was a milestone occasion. And I'll actually see her this afternoon so that she can finally open her cards. The disappointing thing was that none of her family could actually be with her on her actual 100th birthday. However, she lives in peace and contentment, didn't seem to be at all perturbed. Now, throughout her written recollections, this theme is repeated again and again. She's got, "I survived it. I survived it," talking about or writing about the different challenges in her life. And I thought, how you as a church could say that. You survived it. You survived challenges along the way. You know, survival is more than physical endurance of, say, reaching 80, 90, 100. What my mother meant when she wrote, "I survived it," was that she had learned from each experience in her life about herself, about life, about others, and about God. There's a toughness and resilience there. I can sense that in her writing, as well as a deepening faith and contentment. But survival skills sustain life. So I wonder what it is that has sustained you personally in your life and in your faith. What has sustained this church through the last 20 years? And as John has mentioned in the history, the coming together of two congregations is not the easiest thing to do. There's a lot of change to accept. Even the change in the seating arrangements. I can remember, Jim would remember this, when he was minister here, we faced that way, didn't we? That was the way you worshipped. Now you're worshipping this way. So change is part of the need that we have to exercise sometimes faith and trust, acceptance and listening to others as you go through that. And I wonder what it will be that will sustain you as you go forward into the next decade. What will sustain you so that you can continue to fulfill God's call to be His church in this place, in this community, in this next decade? Throughout Scripture, we are reminded of times when God's people stopped to remember and give thanks. Their festivals and feasts were an important part of this, reminding them of their history, their spiritual heritage, and how God had led them. Shortly, we'll share in communion together. Communion is a time when we stop and we remember what Jesus has done for us. In the past, referring to a past event, but also it comes into the present as He gives His life to us again and again. It places our small life within the bigger frame of the Christian faith story. There was a time in Israel's history when, under the leadership of Samuel, the Israelites were engaged in a battle, another battle against invaders. This happened repeatedly through their history. And the biblical account says that God intervened with supernatural help. And to commemorate the victory, Samuel took a stone and named it Ebenezer, the stone of help. And he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has helped us." You can read about it in 1 Samuel 7. So as a church, or as people who've come back for today's celebration, what are you grateful for for your time in this church here? What would cause you to say, "Thus far the Lord has helped us"? the Brimbank Church of Christ. Here are some unique aspects I have recalled, and your memory will be prompted about others. In the early days of this church, it was known to have one of the largest Sunday schools in Melbourne because it was a newly established area and there were many families moving into the area. I remember the first baptism in the new baptistry and buckets of water, hot water having to be carried over from the manse across the road, traffic being stopped so these buckets could come over of hot water because something had gone wrong with the plumbing and there was only cold water in the baptistry. I remember the chain gang of people and the buckets. Youth groups, Club 59 for children, women's dinners catering for Gideon's Bible Society, Craft Care and Chat, its previous name was Hodos. Lally Smith's children's stories, we've mentioned that. The puppets, you had Stewie and Susie, their predecessor was Big Bird, and you might have some others had others along the way. Know Your Bible study groups, camps, and of course life events, funerals, weddings, and celebrations. That's just a snapshot of the tapestry of involvement. They're not just programs to keep people busy and occupied. They have been opportunities for comfort, for helping people through difficult life challenges, for community connections, and for, as your vision says, for knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. That's why all of those things have existed. And people have shaped this church. They've built it literally and figuratively. We know that the church is more than the buildings, but isn't it wonderful to have a place like this that has been transformed as a building and the gardens, where you have a gathering place for worship, for prayer, for shared experiences, for community connections, for baptisms, and for significant decision making. Today we affirm that the history of this church is about its people and its people in relationship with God. You've seen people come and go, live and die, minister and serve. And there will be people whom you remember for their influence upon you. They may not necessarily have been a person in leadership, because the network of relationships of a church are such that everyone has a part in encouraging and building up others. You will remember the times when you have gathered here for worship and for prayer, when you might have felt alone with the burden you're carrying, and you have been able to meet with others who've prayed for you. I remember all the heartfelt prayers offered for our son Mark. Gathering all of these memories, we can say with conviction, thus far the Lord has helped us. When we think about the passage that I read from Philippians, and Paul, remembering Paul wrote that letter from prison, and it just exudes thanksgiving and joy, words of encouragement that reach right across the century from the first century to now and encourage us today. And those words came alive for me over a decade ago when Athel and I were part of a work team that went to Nazareth painting a hospital and a school there. And after the work finished, we went on to Greece as part of the work group and traced Paul's second missionary journey in reverse. And I remember being in Philippi in the ruins, but this passage coming to life and recalling how the church began there when Paul and his companions found a group of women who met by the river every Sabbath to pray. And one of them was Lydia, a businesswoman, a dealer in purple cloth. And she opened her home to Paul and his companions, providing hospitality. And when Paul was released with Silas from prison, they went to Lydia's home and met with the believers and encouraged them. And there's a beautiful description of her in Acts 16. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she and her household were all baptized. But in that passage, there is this significant verse, which I want you to take hold of for your own life and for the life of this church. The one, God, who began a good work among you, or in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. So the work has already begun, and there is more to come. This is the already and the not yet time frame. We invest in people and situations and life now, knowing that there is more to come, more than we will ever be able to accomplish on our own. But your works, your efforts will have a lasting impact as God's grace works in you to produce the way of life that God intends for all of his creation. John spoke earlier about the inspiration that drew the Barnabas Christian Fellowship and the East Keilor Church of Christ together, and they became, or you became, the Brimbank Church of Christ. There was inspiration there, the seed of a dream. And because people were faithful and obedient, it happened. It was brought into being. Is the dream still there? A dream that calls you to engage your mind, your heart, your gifts, all that has been invested in you for the cause of the gospel, the good news of God's loving and living presence in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected and present with you today through the Holy Spirit. You see, God's dream, God's heart for this world is for shalom to be experienced globally and locally, and he calls churches into the fulfilling of that dream. Whether it's relief efforts in the disaster areas of the floods, or peacemaking efforts and humanitarian efforts in the horrific war in Ukraine, efforts to see justice enacted, abuse and violence to cease, compassion for marginalized and vulnerable people. This is the heart of God for shalom in the world. Do you share God's heart for the world? Paul's prayer for the Philippian believers expresses his vision and his hope for them. And I'd like you to receive it today as the prayer for the Brimbank Church as you launch into another decade. It's a prayer that your life will be characterized by God's love, expressed through you, a love that is shaped by knowledge, insight, wisdom and discernment. For decades, this church has belonged to the movement known as Churches of Christ. And John referred to the desire for the Barnabas Christian Fellowship to come under the responsibility or oversight of a denomination. It's a great responsibility to have the name Church of Christ, because it calls every church that names itself a Church of Christ to be centered on Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and to make Jesus known, a church that reveals Jesus Christ. How much the church and all of you are needed as hope givers, as bearers of good news, and as partners in the gospel. You each have a part in that. and you've each been gifted in some way to do that. So finally, we say thanks for all that this church has meant in its history, whatever part you have had or continue to have, and beyond into the wider community and the community of faith. We are thankful for the people who have been influenced and nurtured. We're thankful for the good work that God has begun in you. May it all bear fruit until it is all brought together and finally fulfilled on the day that Jesus Christ returns. May grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you and in you, in each one of you, and continue to be evident in the life of this church. Thank you for the privilege of preaching today and for being with you. May God bless you. Amen.